You guys, hello.
Yeah, hi.
Sorry.
You just muted yourself.
I did because I hit the divide key or the times key, which mutes everything. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Shenantics, the internet's golden child of podcasts. I don't know if you guys actually know this. We are the founding fathers of podcasts. We were the first one that ever came out on iTunes many, many years ago. Isn't that right, Skinky? Oh, also, hi, Skinky.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you remember when podcasts first came out?
No.
You don't?
No, I wasn't into podcasts until maybe college I got into them.
Really?
Yeah, I was never like really big into them. I thought they were a little boring, and then I didn't really partake in them, and for God's sakes, now I have one.
Yeah. Wow, that escalated quickly.
Yeah, and it really did. It really did.
Yeah, I remember like vividly when Apple introduced them to the iTunes store, which was a big turning point for the medium, because like they were around beforehand, but we would use various hodgepodges of different like systems and ways to like get the content, and then Apple kind of was like, here, let's bring it under one roof with this, and then that just, I think, kind of exploded their popularity because it became less of this obscure thing on the internet and more of a little more mainstream because people can get it on their iPods and stuff like that, because this was even way before iPhones.
iPods. Oh man, love them.
I'm literally looking at an iPod right now. I think I'm going to just start using that.
Really?
Like, yeah, I feel like that'd be cool to just like, I don't know, go through, throw it back, go old school.
I used my, I think it was like iPod, the original one, like the one that was like 250 gigs or something.
iPod Classic?
Is the iPod Classic? I had that, like I used that until like probably sophomore year of college.
Oh, nice.
And that was amazing. It was so great to have 250 like gigs or whatever it was, 500, what was it? I don't even remember, but it was a fuck ton.
It was something like that.
Yeah. It was a lot of space, and I had a giant iTunes library, which rip, like I don't have that anymore, but... Yeah, I think we talked about this before. Like how
we did talk about this before. So I'm like having flashbacks.
Yeah,
we've hit the point in the podcast where we're just recovering old material over and over.
We're like, oh my god, I can't even speak. We're like, when Radiolab comes out with a new episode, you're like, oh my god, they have a new episode. They're like, yeah, this is something we reported back in 2003. You're like, fuck,
I hate that so much.
But I'm like, I haven't listened to it before, so it is technically new for me.
Well, so my thing is like. It's I feel like I have like such a rush of like confused emotions when I hear that, and it happens more with me with This American Life, and I've listened to the podcast for long enough that they do air ones that I've already heard, and so like we're airing something we aired back in so and so, and I'm like, please be one I haven't heard yet, please be one I haven't heard yet.
Yeah, that's the same thing with me with This American Life. Does that a lot.
Oh, they do a ton of the time. So I don't actually even know what their new episode release schedule is, because I feel like you'll get like a good like month or two of just reruns before you get like a new episode.
Yeah, I feel like they don't really have a set schedule all too much, or maybe they do and we don't know about it,
maybe.
I don't pay attention. Mm-hmm. But I think like Radiolab is like what, once every 2 weeks or something they're supposed to release an episode.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
Yeah, This American Life, I have no idea like what they do. I just, when they pop up, I listen to it and I see if I've heard it before.
Yeah. You know what I think would be cool is, I think it'd be really cool to host like a live on the air radio show. Like, I think that'd be like over like traditional radio. Like, if we could just like tune our like
radio.
Yeah, like
I'd have a problem with that. I'd have trouble with it, but I'd do it. But like, not cursing or like,
oh yeah,
trying to be aware of not like, I think that'd be difficult for me.
Good call. I will also have problems.
We'd be on Sirius Radio.
Yes. It'd be like Howard Stern and then Skanky and M. Cole. Like,
Oh God.
That's what we would do.
I would love to do that though. And I think that'd be kind of fun to be on the regular. I think I could probably do it. I'd do okay. If I was on the regular radio, I probably wouldn't curse, or if I did, I wouldn't notice it. And then they'd be like, you're fired. I'd be like, oh, well.
Oh, sorry.
I went out with a bang at least.
Oh my gosh. Do you think they pass the fines on to you for like when they get sued by, what is that, FCC?
I don't think they do, no. Okay. I think the company will take the hit on it.
Okay, and then just get rid of you.
And they probably would like suspend you, or like maybe nothing will happen. I really don't know how often that happens.
Yeah, I don't either.
For all we know, that could happen like a couple times a day and we don't even notice it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like when people curse now, I don't notice. It's just part of speech, you know? It's like,
yeah,
whatever.
Actually, I don't either. I don't really notice it all that much either.
But I don't know. I don't know what happens with that.
I want to try and stop swearing on my stream. I think
good luck.
Today I'm going to go no swearing. I'm going to set up a command so people can notify me if I do, and then we can see how many times I actually did swear by the end of it. But I'm thinking we're going to go no swearing on today's stream.
All right, good luck.
Good luck.
I tried to do that a couple streams ago. And
yeah. Oh, really?
It didn't quite work out.
Yeah.
I was like a solid 30 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
Of no cursing. Yeah.
Now I feel like if you've gone 30, like I have like an incentive to like, all right, okay, we at least got to get to 31 minutes.
you'll be 31. Yeah, you'll do that easily.
Yeah.
See, I was playing like PUBG or something. I got headshot and I was like, fuck.
Well,
like, you just cursed. I was like, oh, okay.
Thinking about playing Overwatch, so...
Oh, never mind. So, 15 minutes. Right. Tops.
Yeah, exactly. I might not even get through my intro rambling without
Yeah, you might not. You might not.
So, we'll see, but I don't know. No, but like with the radio thing, I kind of find antique or antiquated technology kind of has a charm a lot of times now, where it's like, I feel back maybe in like the 2000s, the early aughts, if you will, like it's just like you get more and more frustrated with radio. And then as you get other things like the iPods and just like music players and you get streaming music, it's like you would never go back there. But then it also starts to develop this like charm of like the olden days. And I'm like,
sure,
I want to create internet. Or not internet, or radio stories, radio dramas, or something. I don't know. I think it could be cool.
So. No, I still use a lot of antiquated, as you would say, media.
Yeah.
How do you watch
movies?
Well, I stream most of them. Yeah. To be honest, I don't. I was never really, honestly, big into DVDs.
Yeah.
I never really like. I don't know. I thought they were a little bit annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I have them. And so, and as a kid, I would watch DVDs and like VHS tapes, loved VHS tapes. but yeah, and CDs, I had a CD player for a while, which was cool. But I was a pretty early adopter of like the MP3 player.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot which one I had. I think we talked about it on the podcast before, but I had like a, what was it? It was like a triangular, like, I actually don't even know what the shape would be, but
trapezoidal.
I guess it was like a trapezoid. Yeah, almost. And I just like had, I think it was like not even, I think it had 20 megabytes on it or something. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. And that's what I would listen to really shitty music on. Nice. And I mean, well, like going back to antiquated media, right now I still like read print newspapers and stuff.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Hold on. Really?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that's how you consume your news. Like, and not all your news, but like,
no, not all of it. But I mean,
does it get
like,
delivered to your home, or do you pick it up on your way out?
No, sometimes I'll pick it up. Sometimes I'll, you know, read it here and there.
This is like literally blowing my mind right now.
Really? It doesn't blow your mind? I really like print media. I think it's pretty sick, and I think that people like say that print media is dying, but there's like still a lot of people who read it, like read news like that. And I feel like see, the cool thing is like, I was a journalism major, so I kind of like really like print media a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I may not be like the normal type of person who's been like, oh man, I love picking up the New York Times and reading it. But, but I feel like it's very cool when you pick up a newspaper because you can see how a newsroom is run in a way, because you can see how things are organized rather than online. You'd be like, okay, this is maybe not as important, even though it's on the front website page, but like in the print paper, it's like in the second page. So it's not as important to them. So you can kind of like, you see news in a different light. I feel like
that's
kind of cool.
That's a great point. That's a really, really good point actually, because it almost makes it a little bit more user-friendly and hand-holdy of, like, if you only have so much time to read the news, like, here, like you said, like, it's laid out in a way of here's where important stories are, and, like, as it goes deeper in, those are, like, maybe less important of the stories. And,
yeah.
And, like, websites, they're updated all day long, and things, and they will put stuff on the front page just because they might need to fill space, or it's a clickbaity type article. Mm-hmm. I personally, like, detest the New York Times layout of their website. Like, I really don't like it. I think it's very poorly done and very poorly put together. But yeah, no, maybe I should read print newspapers.
Yeah, I mean, I say give it a shot, because the other cool thing about it is, like, it's almost the same argument as, hey, I like to read physical books. Yeah. And it's like, I get that. That's cool. And when you read a newspaper, there is an ending to the news.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you reach the end. But if you're reading online, it's just like, oh, just going down the rabbit hole. Keep going, keep going.
Yeah,
and sometimes
right,
people get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Now, you could read a print paper, but, I mean, if you read the print New York Times, it's going to take you hours to get through.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, like, you can't read every section of the New York Times because there's so much stuff in there. But, I mean, you could technically reach an end to, like, you know, the main paper.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's kind of cool.
That is really cool. I forget how this was many years ago at this point. It feels like maybe 2009, 2010-ish. I don't really remember. There was a site that someone created called, I believe it was called the Daily Edition. Or maybe it was the Evening Edition. I don't know. It was something. And what they were trying to do is, I believe there was a thing in the newspaper industry for a period of time where, like, companies would release, like, an evening paper so that, like, people on, like, their train rides home can, like, get, like, a recap of the news for the day. And they had recreated that on the internet. And so the website wasn't being updated all day long. A new quote-unquote issue would go live at, like, 5 p.m. With, like, that day's stories. And it was really cool the way they laid it out. Like, it would give you, like, a brief overview of what the story was that like, kind of happened. And then it would give you links to other people's coverage of it if you wanted to learn more about whatever it was. And so I thought that was a really great way to be able to, like, consume news. Just, like, here's, like, a nice curated thing of very quickly, here are the top points that you can kind of just get through at night to figure out what happened that day instead of just following it all day long or waiting until the next morning to read the physical newspaper. I think they then pivoted or evolved to actually have, like, a morning and an evening edition or something like that. So, and then eventually they went out of business. But it was cool.
But yeah, that's a lot. Like, that used to be the standard for newspapers, is to have the morning and the evening edition.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when you hear, like, you always hear the extra, extra thing.
Mm-hmm.
That used to mean an extra edition was coming out that was breaking news.
Okay.
For people to go and pick up.
Oh.
So that used to be a standard, but I don't think there's any newspapers in the U.S. that still do a morning and an afternoon edition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of them have replaced it with email blasts. So
yeah, I can see that.
New York Times does a morning and an evening email blast that you can get. That's, like, pretty much what you described as, like, the talking points of the day.
Yeah,
which is pretty good.
Yeah, I use my do not answer me, woman. Well, Alexa, me and Alexa have.
I was like, what the fuck?
You're like, what is going on?
What is
going like? She's
on?
Talking to me.
Shut up.
No, me and my Alexa have a very,
Yeah, you seem to be a bit of a... Okay, I mean, I'm not going to judge. You guys do you, but...
No, but me and I can't say her name or else she's going to start talking to me again.
Alexis.
Me and Alexis, Damn it, that also did it.
Did it? Oh,
yeah.
God.
I know, we're just...
They're always listening, I'm called.
I know. But no, so I use that to get, like, nice, like, briefings, like, in the morning or at night type thing, which is kind of cool. One thing I like is, like, you just kind of, like, hop up and you just ask what is, like, the, like, what was your news flash, like daily briefing type thing.
Yeah.
And you can also set up, so like I'll maybe like tell you the weather first and then breakdown of different stories and stuff like that. So that's kind of what I've been using for a little bit of like just like the key points of the news.
Yeah.
And it's been fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I don't have me an Alexa.
She's great. She's awesome.
I read me the newspaper.
Right? Skanky like, sits down with dead tree newspapers and M. Cole,
Grandpa Skanky.
Right, M. Cole can't even be bothered to like read. He literally has to have it read to him now. Like,
that's true. I didn't even think about that.
So we are at opposite sides of like the news consuming world.
Yeah, we are.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think I would think that'd be cool. I think I might try that. I might not go fully in on like having thing like tangible paper in my hand, but I might do like the digital replication of the print edition on my iPad, you know.
Okay.
So that way it's like essentially the same thing. It's not being updated. It's whatever the shot in time was that morning. Mm-hmm. And then and go from there.
Okay. So, that's cool.
I think it is. I did not expect this to go this way.
Yeah. Okay.
I did not expect you to convince me that I'm reading news incorrectly.
Hey, what up? I did it. I've done it.
I
don't
did
know what
thing.
I did, but I did something.
I'm going to make you a
I
medal.
Did something that seems important.
It is. No, so. you do lots of important stuff. I feel like I want to make trophies for people. And like
what important stuff do I do?
You're influencing the lives of people, Skanky.
Oh, yeah. Am I?
Yes, yes.
I'm a life influencer. I'm going to put that on my Twitter bio.
Exactly.
Life influencer.
Yeah, I'm drinking Skanky Fam blend tea right now.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, you're literally changing the course of my life. As
exclamation point T in chat.
Exclamation point T in chat. But no, yeah, I think you do lots of good stuff, Skanky.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you're a good guy. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Oh, thanks. How does one become a motivational speaker?
I don't know, but I feel like we should do that.
I think, like, is it weird that I think that most motivational speakers are just like crooks?
Yes, we should still do it.
So, let's do it, actually. Like, what the fuck makes you a motivational speaker? Like, can you just be like, hey guys, you're doing a great job out there? Like, or do you have to have like a sob story to be a motivational speaker?
Okay, so I think anybody can be a motivational speaker, but I feel that to be a successful motivational speaker,
difference.
There's like ingredients that go into it. And I believe that the sob story plays an important role because people love perseverance and it gives you credibility of why people should listen to you, right? Or else otherwise it's just like, okay, you're uplifting and telling me to go do stuff where it's like, I don't know if I really, you haven't given me a reason that I should believe what you're saying. Where if you're like, this is my entire history of bad stuff, and then here is how I built myself up to be what I am today, standing in front of you doing these amazing things. And by amazing things, I mean literally just talking to you, and then you should go do amazing things, but also buy my book.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I don't know. Do you think you would make a good motivational speaker?
I guess. I don't know. Like, I guess I'd have to come up with something to motivationally speak about. See, I think there's a difference here. Like, a TED Talk is different than a motivational speaker as well.
Yes. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
A TED Talk is someone, like, who's able to, you know, talk about one specific subject that they're knowledgeable about. But a motivational speaker could, like what you said, be anybody.
Yeah.
No, and they can talk about literally anything.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, maybe it's the same feeling I have about slam poetry.
All right.
Well, M. Cole, we went to college at very different times. Was slam poetry big when you were in college?
No. Maybe I just was not part of that scene. I don't know.
Let me tell you, man. Slam poetry is like bread and butter of American universities now. It is like, if you're not in college, or like if you are in a college, there has to be a slam poetry club or someone knows someone who does slam poetry.
All right. Hold on. I just need to make sure I clarify this.
Okay.
Is there actually slam poetry going on, or is it just that everybody knows a guy that knows a guy? Like, does that guy not actually exist? But it's like, no, 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 you don't understand. I know Skanky, who I think Skanky knows a guy who does slam poetry. And that, like, the guy that actually does it doesn't exist.
No, there's, like, there's some strange slam poetry thing going on in colleges right now.
Well, hold on. I missed everything maybe you said because you cut out.
Maybe it was just me, though. Maybe it's just my school, but...
Okay.
From what I've seen, it seems like slam poetry is like a thing now. Or was a thing. I haven't been in college for a little while, so I don't know. But there were so many people doing slam poetry that I was like, okay. Like, like they were like motivational speakers kind of through slam poetry, you know?
What is slam poetry?
It's like... I guess it's kind of almost a mix between rapping and poetry in a way.
All right.
But like things don't always they rhyme, but they're trying to have a social impact with their poetry, I guess. Okay. Not like Emily Dickinson poetry, but like activist poetry almost in a way. I guess maybe is a way of putting it.
All right, yeah. Let me tell you,
it takes a lot of skill to do it. But it seems like
I was just about to see if I can like riff one out and be like,
it's like if you were trying to make I can't tell you, but like if you're taking a subject like ice water in a glass and then like you rhyme something with glass but it means like man Earth's dying. Or something.
I don't think ice water in a glass and earth is dying rhymes. It'd be like...
It doesn't. No, but I can't rhyme anything with a glass.
The icebergs are flying because the earth is dying.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
The antelopes.
But you have to add a little bit more to it. Wait, so what did you say? What was it again? The line?
I think the icebergs are flying because the earth is dying or something.
Wait, the icebergs are flying?
All right, hold on. First draft.
No, that works.
Revising.
That's fine, though, because you have to be like, you have to say it with a lot of like
emotion,
gusto. You have to be like, the icebergs are flying, but the earth is dying. Like that. And then people snap. They're like, ooh, wow.
Woo.
That's
the woo or no?
The what?
No. Woohoo.
No, you never scream. No.
Okay.
You always clap. You don't know. You always snap. Whoa. Or you say, yes. That's what it is.
I love this. This is great.
Right? It's kind of fun, though, now that we're doing it.
I might need to go to slam poetry.
Get to slam poetry.
Yeah.
See, but even if you don't make any sense, like, that's fine.
Or
as long as
even,
you said the earth is dying. You have to pause, though.
Is it even better if it makes no sense? Because, like, I seem super deep. Because other people don't want to admit that they don't understand what I'm saying.
Exactly. And so you're getting it. Let's go back to college.
Let's go. I would actually probably like to go back to college.
Let's go.
Did you ever watch the movie Van Wilder?
Nah, but I've heard about it.
Yeah, I was jealous of that guy. I wanted to go to 7 years of college and just hang out.
God, 7 years of college.
I think I would need a break. I feel like with schooling, like I enjoy schooling and learning and stuff like that, but like I always need like to get out of that world before mm-hmm. I go back into it. And so I feel like I would get burnt out on college and then just need to like extract myself and then go back in.
I agree. You forget about all like the crappy stuff that you had to go through in school.
Yeah.
Like constant work all the time when you're not working 9 to 5. All the other stuff, but like, you know, I mean, college is fun.
Yeah,
it's a good time.
Yeah, we should I think we should start up a college.
Let's start up a college and we'll just slam poetry. We do that.
Just slam poetry everywhere. I mean, it'd be perfect. I from what I understand, the slam poetry is the building blocks of American higher educational system.
Yeah, and you learned that from your friend Skanky.
My friend Skanky. Fred Skanky knows a guy who knows a guy who told him about slam poetry and found fundamental building blocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you ever think the founding fathers, like, if like they were to like just like through some magic, were able to like come back right here today in 2017, and like they randomly tune into Shenantics, and they're like, what have we created? Like,
yeah.
Maybe this wasn't the best idea. They have too much freedom. These two are just shut it down. Shut down the experiment.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, this kind of seems like something that John Oliver would do.
Oh, I love
He'd be
John
like,
Oliver.
It's so easy to make a for-profit university, so we're going to do it. And he just like makes a for-profit university.
Such.
Right? Isn't that something that he would do?
Oh, that is so something he would do. Oh my God.
Or no, he stands up from his desk. Let's do it. Let's do it.
And he walks up to the right and there's fireworks and he might have someone playing
a song.
And
there's a guy there like, and it's like, this is my lawyer. And he's like, yeah, so right here is the charter for the school of John Oliver University.
Oh my gosh. We should probably submit this over to Last Week Tonight and see
right?
if they can.
He would 100% do that.
That'd be awesome. Gosh, that'd be so good.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love him. He's great. He does some super good
stuff.
I do too.
I wish I could just spend like an hour hanging out and talking to him.
Yeah.
2 hours. The first hour is going to be really awkward. And so I want like the second hour after it's like warmed up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could just like somehow fast forward to the second hour of like my mandate with John Oliver.
Mandate.
It'll be perfect.
Wait, there's a mandate for it?
Yeah. Like a law.
Yeah. What's the mandate?
I haven't developed it yet. Working on it. One step at a time.
Okay, that's fine.
So
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like right now, because what we're talking about, I'm looking at the skanky John Oliver picture.
Oh, it's desktop. A great picture. It's on your desktop, isn't it?
Yeah. It's always there. You are making, I don't know, the thing that I think is the best about this picture, other than that it has John Oliver, is like you're making like the weirdest face, but your face, I don't think I've ever seen so many like chins on a person. There's like, I think,
dude,
I counted 20.
Yeah, people are impressed with the amount of chins I can make.
Yeah, it's just, that's like, it goes like all the way down. Like it literally looks like you don't have a neck, you just have like peachy flesh colored plates mm-hmm. stacked on top of each other, and then mm-hmm. a head put on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna say that you have a skill and a talent, my friend.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
you,
that.
You are
what a nice guy.
You're gonna go far with this.
Thank you. I'm gonna be the chin man at the circus.
No, chin man at the slam poetry. There aren't circuses.
At the slam
anymore.
Poetry circus. Slam Poetry Circus. That's such a good name for a slam poetry competition.
Ooh, that's God. Would we do it? How would? But where would this? Would this be a live competition, televised competition? How are we doing this competition?
Like they have it in what's that movie with the singing and the thing, Mabobber? The
Bring It On.
No, isn't that dancing?
High School Musical.
No, what's the other one where they do the freaking
Pitch Perfect?
Pitch Perfect, yeah.
Love
that's
that
another
movie.
Thing that people are doing in colleges too now, because of that
acapella
movie.
Groups.
They have a whole bunch of acapella groups and
oh
slam
my
poetry.
God. I have
things.
Missed out. I went
Dude,
to school
you
at the
out.
Wrong time.
You missed out, man. There's a lot of crazy shit going on.
Ah, that is awesome.
Is it? I guess so. I don't give a shit, but like whatever.
Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
I think that's
or Take On Me by Aha.
Okay.
Because you got to get those high notes in there, you know? It's very important.
Yeah.
Why? Do you have one too?
No, I don't think so.
Oh. I really haven't done much karaoke.
I haven't either. There's a karaoke bar right down the street from me. I think maybe I'll go tonight.
Yeah, go tonight. Go get it done.
Yeah.
Just
knock out a few songs and then come home.
We had a work outing once mm-hmm. for my old job where we went to a karaoke bar. Or like we did karaoke at a bar that wasn't a karaoke bar, but they had karaoke.
Yeah.
Really, really sketchy. But I like didn't really. Whoa! I almost fell. I didn't really get it. Like, well, okay. My old job used to have like things per quarter. Like this one's gonna be a motivational quarter, and we're like, oh my god, like fuck me, man. We're like, we don't need this. But this one was called. Breaking out of your shell.
Oh my
coming
God.
Out of your shell. And it was like, everyone's going to get up there and do karaoke. obviously this guy didn't, so I fucking dipped out of that one. But like, they tried to spin it like, oh yeah, everyone's gonna like really get out there. But there was this guy, I think he was like he was the head of the accounting department, and holy shit, man, he sounded just like Billy Joel. He was so good.
That's
everyone
awesome.
Was so hyped. Yeah, and then everyone else was really bad after that. But it was good. it was a good time. It was an open bar, so it was fine.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Yeah, but so.
Oh, that's good.
I've never really done karaoke like officially, I feel like.
Okay, so when I was younger, I was on a cruise with my family and another friend of mine and like their family. Okay. And I'm pretty sure it was middle school. So I was probably, I don't know what, 13, 14 years old. So we're on this cruise, and they, in one of like the lounge areas, they would have karaoke. And so like 13-year-old me and my friend were like, oh my God, we totally want to do karaoke. Like, this would be so much fun. And so like we went in there and like we like put our names on, and we actually our song was Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, which,
oh God,
terrible song to pick for karaoke because it
horrible.
Never ends.
Yeah.
So we get up there and we sing and we have fun and all that kind of stuff, and it actually went really, really well because I think there was like a novelty for having two 13-year-old kids think they're good at singing, and all the drunk people around you are like, yeah, you go, kids.
Yeah.
Like, sing. And so we ended up winning because apparently they're like, there's this competition going on where like they were like each night they were picking people to go on to the finals. And so somehow us two random 13-year-old kids like won that night, even though we weren't actually allowed to be able to start, we weren't supposed to be allowed to sing in karaoke because you had to be 18. So somehow we won that night, and so we advanced to the finals. And it was like the second to last night of the cruise. They had in like their big theater thing that was in the bottom had like also like a little ice rink or whatever that they had people that they can like skate on or play hockey and stuff. Uh-huh. They had the finals down there, and so me and my buddy were like all super pumped to like do this and go on and like go sing. And so like we had to sing Bohemian Rhapsody again. We got like all fancy. We like we wore button down shirts that had snap buttons and stuff like that. And we are back in the green room, and it's really weird because it's like us and like a whole bunch of like really old people, and we're all sitting back there, and we're super nervous because we're about to go sing in front of this like giant group of like everyone that's out there on this cruise ship. And it comes up to our part. We go on out there and we start singing Bohemian Rhapsody, and we freaking rocked it. It was amazing.
Nice.
Our snap button shirts, we ripped them open to Whoa. Show our like pasty white little chests that were like not sexy whatsoever.
Uh-huh,
and people were cheering and all that kind of stuff. And we ended up winning the competition, but uh-huh. They had to like give us third place because first and second place included alcohol, and we weren't supposed to actually be in it. But yeah, so I won a karaoke competition on a cruise once, singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Damn, dude, that's kind of. I mean, do you think it was just because you were like 13 and they thought it was cute, or
yes, I think that
like
is the only reason. Honestly, because my friend's got a decent voice. I have no singing ability whatsoever. So it's not like we were good. The adults were actually like pretty good. Like, that's why they advanced to this round, is because they actually had some talent. And then they also sang songs that were relevant to like the older crowd. Like some of them sang some like Jimmy Buffett songs and stuff like that.
Classic.
Yeah. And so the only reason we would have won is because people thought, oh, look at it. You got 13-year-old kids that think they're so awesome. This is kind of adorable and funny. But don't take my hopes and dreams away from me, Skank.
No.
I'm going to be a singer one day.
I was there, and you were really good.
There was and maybe still is VHS evidence of this.
Whoa!
So I might have to give my parents a call and see if
someone's got to get a VHS player.
I know. And then rip this bad boy over to a digital format that can be preserved.
Hell yeah. Let's do it. Yeah, I'm ready.
So that was my karaoke story.
Well, you have a little bit more experience than I do.
Well, Yeah. So we'll start it with what's our karaoke band name going to be?
It's going to be this Slam Poetry Jam.
Awesome. I can't wait. Skanky, if you could be any animal, what would you be?
I don't know. That's a hard question. I think a dog would be really cool, but I don't know.
Dogs have like the best life ever.
They do have a good life, but if you think about it, they don't live very long.
Oh, I'm like actually really sad now.
That's kind of sad, isn't it? But it I mean, it's kind of true.
Yeah. Actually, never mind. I think it'd be very hard to be a dog.
Why do you think it'd be hard?
Because if you think about like from a dog's point of view, like because we're looking at a dog's life from a human's point of view, right? You're like, damn, mm-hmm. You got the life, man. You sit around, you sleep all day. People feed you. People like take you out for walks. You get to play and just have fun. You don't have a care in the world, right? True. And so from a human point of view, like that's amazing. But step into the dog's paws for a second and just kind of like see what their life is like from their eyes. And I feel like it's very stressful. Like if you like, they don't know much of what's going on in the world. All they know is that, like, let's use my dog for an example because it simplifies the entire equation. All he knows is that there's this one human that hangs out with him, and like I am pretty much his entire world, right? He doesn't mm-hmm. really know much outside of that. Like he knows his other dogs and he knows other people, but like it's like pretty much me and him. But every day, well, not every day, 5 days a week, I walk out that door and he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know if I'm coming back.
Yeah.
And that is stressful.
Yeah, I guess that is pretty stressful. And that's right? Almost every day.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, and the weekends are probably really weird for him. He's like, why is he not leaving? but yeah, yeah, I feel like that's kind of I feel like that's kind of a stressful way to live. If it was me, that would bother me. But
well, I read an article once that was really depressing, and it said that dogs only love us because of Stockholm syndrome.
Wow.
Isn't that like kind of sad?
Yeah, that is really sad.
But if you think about it, like, I mean, there are wild dogs out there, but the dogs that we have in our houses, like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't know anything else, really.
That's true, yeah.
But then you think, what do we know? We don't know anything else either. Damn. We could make a whole slam poetry thing on this.
I think this has been one long slam poetry episode. Like, I feel like, here's the thing is that when someone's listening right now, and I'm just going to point this out because they might not have noticed, there's a deeper meaning to this entire episode that if you have not caught on, then I think you're missing out. You
15th word rhymes and it's a slam poem. We're doing a whole big poem right now.
Exactly, exactly. And if you were to lay them out in actual written structure form, if you connect all the capital letters, mm-hmm. then it spells out something else too.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. Karaoke was a very important word to have in there because it throws a lot of the letters we need in. So that was, if you're wondering why the karaoke thing came up, that's why.
I think dogs are pretty stressed out most of the time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of...
See,
yeah.
I feel like they're stress sponges is what I call them. Because, like...
Stress sponges.
Yeah, because if you're having, like, a really bad day and, like, stressed out, and you just go, like, pet and hug a dog, like, they absorb the stress out of you and, like, make you feel better. Which is, mm-hmm. My favorite thing ever is when schools have the dogs come around final time.
Yeah.
For, like, people to, like, hang out and pet. Like, that is... I love that so much. I believe there's an airport now. Is it in San Francisco or San Diego? Somewhere? Somewhere on the West Coast that has, like, dogs that you can pet, like, at the gates. And I think that's so amazing.
That's interesting.
I think that's really cool. So
yeah, we had that at my school, too, when the dogs came around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they used to go and sit out in front of the slam poetry meets.
You know, I think, do you ever wish you could do something, but you don't have the talent to pull it off?
Yes.
So I like right now what I really want to do that I would never be able to do because I have no artistic ability like at all. Like I really want to take that iconic painting of the dogs playing poker and update mm-hmm. it for 2017 with a dog slam poetry group.
Whoa, that's cool. Let's do it. Why do I have the talent for it?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I really wish I could draw. I'm really bad too. At drawing.
I'm so bad at anything that like requires like art, like skills. Like it's so bad.
I've always wanted to be able to draw.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
me too.
I can't really do it. When I was younger, I used to draw a lot or try to draw. It was not very good, though. I think I have a big problem with visualizing what I want to put on the page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And making it actually happen. Like, knowing where to draw next, you know? I just don't...
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of trouble with that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think when, like... I have the same problem. I think if I've finally been able to, like, pinpoint what the exact problem I have is. Because, like, in my head, I'm thinking I visualize whatever it is I want to draw, right? Like, I know, like, I want X, and I want to put X on a piece of paper. But what I'm visualizing is, like, very, very high level, and it has nothing with the details. I'm thinking I know the details because my mind's, like, kind of connecting random dots, but I don't. It's like when you have a dream, and, like, you think, like, oh, all this stuff happened, and, like, there's so much detail in it, and everything about it feels so real. But, like, if you go back, like, and analyze and connect the dots, you, like, realize there's so many missing pieces, or, like, so many things that, like, aren't right. And it almost feels like that when I think of, like, art stuff that I want to do is I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, I want to do this. It's going to be great. And then I can't execute because I actually didn't form the idea of what it is I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I think that's my problem.
Yeah, that's hard. It's difficult.
It is.
Really would like to draw though. One day.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
If you could have, we're doing the if-yous, if you didn't notice. If you could have any skill, like snap my fingers and you now have like that skill that is worldly possible. We're not talking about superpowers. Uh-huh. What skill would you wish that you can just magically get right now?
Competitive eating.
Yeah?
No, I'm just kidding. But I saw a competitive eating competition on Friday and it was ridiculous.
Was it hot dogs or kale?
Kale?
Yeah, I was in an Uber the other day and they were talking about how some guy, one of the competitive eating people, they've moved over and they now like competitive eat salads and kale.
Real? Oh, okay.
Like bowls of just kale.
That actually helps your stomach, though. That's how they train.
Yeah?
Yeah, because when you eat like the lettuce, it expands your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's what Kobayashi used to do for the hot dog stuff. No, but I was at the San Gennaro Festival, well, feast, on Friday in Little Italy. And they had a cannoli eating contest.
Oh, that sounds great.
It was ridiculous, though. I mean, they were covered in cannoli cream. Let me tell you something. But the record was 21 cannolis in 6 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Holy cow.
Yeah. So it was how many cannolis you could eat in 6 minutes. And this guy fucking ate 24 cannolis.
That is crazy.
And they were big cannolis.
Yeah. I don't.
They were crazy. Yeah. That was nuts, though. Yeah, and I was like, holy shit, that's, like, kind of ridiculous, but...
I think it's, like, even harder because, it has, like, the cream. Like, I feel like a cannoli eating contest is, like, next level difficulty. Because it's not just taking up, like, stomach space.
Yeah. Well, the cream is actually, I think, the easier part, but the shell is really difficult.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you, like, swallow the shell, like, I mean, if you're not having small bites, like, that probably hurts your throat.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was kind of ridiculous. But I also don't really want to be a competitive eater. I don't know what superpower I would have or what thing I would want. I would really like to be able to draw.
Yeah, see, that's what made me think of it, is having like art skills. I think like that'd be a good one to have.
Yeah. I watch a lot of creative streams on Twitch too, because I like seeing like what people make or how they're able to draw shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it blows my mind. Some of the stuff that
people
create.
Oh, some of the stuff.
Create.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
It's just, it's great. It's so many talented people out there.
I know.
So many talented people.
I know, and they're all on Twitch.
Yeah,
incredible. Incredible.
Never seen the one. So
we had a discussion on my stream the other day about if I got offered a partnership, but Twitch was like, hey, we don't like your name. Can you change it? What I would change my name to?
What would you change your name to?
I'd be like, fuck it, we're going to Mixer. No, I don't know, actually. We didn't actually come up with anything.
I don't, this is also a throwback to episode one of Shenantics.
It is a throwback, kind of.
Yeah. I don't think I, because it was either episode one or two, or was it within the first five episodes that Twitch made it, like, released the ability to change your username.
And
so we had talked about whether or not we ever would change usernames. I don't know what I would change mine to if I was put in a position where I kind of had to change it.
Yeah.
I don't know what my new username would be.
Me either. I had no idea what it would be.
Yeah.
No clue.
I don't know.
Yeah. Huh. We had a long discussion about it though, so.
I'm going over my head what other usernames would I use?
I don't know. It's a hard one. I mean, someone said, "Hey, just change the X to an A. It'll solve all your issues." It's like, okay. easy peasy.
Oh man.
Nah, yeah, I don't know. I don't even want to think about it.
it hurts you.
It hurts. Physically. It hurts to think about.
It makes me ill.
Yeah, it makes me ill. It does. Talking about things that make me ill, M. Cole, can you tell me about what the fuck is going on with your poll situation?
Oh my gosh, Skinky.
Yeah.
By the way, so for those of you guys that don't know, on Twitter, you're talking about the Twitter poll, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about the Twitter poll that you didn't even tell me about.
I loved this, by the way. It was amazing. I really did. All right, so the other day I had this idea. I was just kind of like, I don't know. I don't remember what was going on that made me think about this. But I had this idea for a future Shenantics episode where we would bring on like a different listener or a group of listeners that they would give me like fast paced, short dating advice, right? Like, Emkel, here's what you're doing wrong and this is how you got to change it and you'll totally be successful. Could be serious. It could be off the cuff funny. It could be however they wanted to do it. But we just bring listeners on and they just really quick tell me what I'm doing wrong with my life. I thought it was going to be great. And so I tweeted these out, and whoever runs the Shenantics Pod Twitter account, which is not me, just replies to this thing where if I said, would this be a cool idea, with just no period. Like, final word, we're not discussing this further. It is not happening. And so I was like, screw this shit. We're going to let the people talk. And so I tweeted out a Twitter poll saying, should Skinky let listeners give me dating advice live on Shenantics Pod? And we had 29 votes come in, and 83% of the votes said yes. M. Cole needs the dating advice. Mm-hmm. 17% said no. Let me calculate out that number. What is 17% of 29? 29 times 17. 83% of people said yes, and I did the math to figure out that it was 5 people that said no. And I said, I really like that back when the first votes were coming in, there was 3 people that said no, and Elsie said in the Discord that she says there's 3 no votes. It's probably Teddy Skanky and the Shenantics Pod Twitter account that all voted no, and you came in, you're like, actually, I voted yes.
I did vote yes, yeah.
So, anyways, but what do you think about that idea? Just having some people give me some real quick, fast action dating advice.
Now, you weren't at my stream to hear my opinion, right? I don't think
no, because I think I was working at this time.
All right, let me tell you my opinion, M. Cole. I think it's a good idea. I think it's kind of fun. It's cool.
Yeah? Yeah.
But let's talk about the reality of it.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
How many times did we reschedule the podcast this week?
I know. I thought the exact same thing. I was like, this could never happen because we cannot get like...
We can't even schedule a podcast between two people.
Exactly.
Okay? Let alone get someone on here, okay, to come on the podcast with us. Number one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the reality of them recording their audio, adding it into the mix. We'd be doing an interview every single podcast. That's a lot of work on the Skanky end, okay? And this boy is a busy boy. But, you know, we can make it work, okay? But number three.
Yep.
We have a bit of a problem with rambling on this podcast. I don't know if you know this. But you say 5 minutes, but I know what's going to happen.
It's true.
It's going to be 40 minutes of M-Call Dating Advice Podcast, and then we're going to get to the point where we'll be like, all right, thanks for coming on the show. Okay, guys, here's the small streamer shout-out of the week, and the podcast is going to end.
Okay.
And that's what's going to happen every time.
Few things. I got counterpoints.
You can counter it, yeah.
First of all, you are absolutely correct with the rambling, because the Starbucks interview episode was like 2 hours long.
Yeah.
That's when we first really noticed that you and I have a problem where we can never shut up.
We
about
do. Yeah,
anything.
We have a problem.
Because I thought about the exact same thing about scheduling people to come on, right? And so, like, it's just it's very, very difficult. Like, I don't think people understand how incredibly difficult it is to do that. And then the part about having to do the recordings and explaining to how people to do the recordings, and then you have to edit it in, which all that's a huge pain in the butt. Mm-hmm. I agree. However, I think I had a flip side idea on how we could possibly do this.
Okay, tell me.
They're not coming on live. We're not going to set up and record like we would if we were bringing on a guest. We're not going to do it that way. We have one of two ways we could do it. We can do it one-on-one with, like, either you or I, whenever the person has time. And that kind of will also help keep it down to 5 minutes. And then we just somehow splice that in. However, I don't think that would sound very good because it would be kind of weird and disjointed. What we can do instead is we can they can record clips, like whatever their advice is, in 5 minutes or less, and then send it to us, and then we can splice that in and use it like as like the outro post credits type thing. Be like, so you guys want to hear what people think M-Call should do for dating advice? Roll the clips and be like, hey, my name is Irish. I think that M-Call is awesome and I love him. And then the next person would be like, hey, I'm Tiny and M-Call really just needs to get his shit together, right? Like, you just play clip after clip after clip. And then that way you can keep it to 5 minutes without the rambling, because whatever they send us has to be 5 minutes or less, or whatever time thing we set. We don't have to schedule anything with anyone because we're not doing it live. And then we still have the editing problem where you have to edit those in. But I feel like if we just kind of throw it on the end where we're not trying to make it seamless within the podcast, then it shouldn't be too much more work.
All right, let me counter that argument with something.
Okay.
Why don't we just have one episode where people record their advice, send it into us via email, and then we just play that, and then we respond to it right afterwards, and we have a one podcast deal.
Ooh, I like that. Well, yeah, I was like, my original thing was that we should do like a weekly type thing, but I agree, that's way too much, and it would also get old after a while. So I feel like if we just do it condense it down to like a one podcast type thing, I think it'd be awesome.
I think it would also be great for podcast to have for a podcast for M-Call to have his own dating advice podcast.
Yeah,
where people, like, you know, call in and you have a guest every podcast and you guys talk about dating advice.
Oh, that'd be great, but
no time.
Yeah, exactly. No time, and I already have difficulty scheduling just with Skanky. So I highly doubt that everyone else is going to be so easygoing and helpful with schedule changes. So
it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Do you ever just sit back and think to yourself that it's like a miracle that this podcast goes out every week?
That's most. Honestly, that's with most of the things that I do.
Like, I don't even know how this got done, but
it's a miracle that I'm able to do anything. Like, yeah, actually,
I just need someone to manage my life.
Like, you need a manager or a secretary or something.
Yeah, I just need someone that's gonna like just set everything out and like, so I don't have to think about anything.
Yeah, you gotta be like one of those streamers who gets like a manager or something.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
That'd be great. I want to be rich just so I can have someone else manage my life. It's the only reason. I want to have enough money to pay someone else's handsome salary for just telling me what to do.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. That, I mean, that's a good goal.
Yeah, that's now my life goal. I'm going to try and get to there. So,
let's do it. I'm down.
Yeah. But yeah, so we could shelve the dating advice idea for now.
We can make it happen later.
We'll see. Yeah, there's one giant problem, like the big elephant in the room problem.
What's that?
to make this idea work, we have to rely on other people. And yes. A lot of people are gung-ho for the idea until they actually have to follow through.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, it's a great idea. And then it's like, okay, send us your recordings. And then we get one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as people that create stuff on the internet, we know how that goes sometimes.
Yes. I think one of the more difficult things on Twitch.
Yeah.
Is people excited for an idea, but nothing actually ends up happening, unfortunately.
Yeah. Tons of cool ideas out there that, and it's also for like a whole number of reasons too. Like it's people will be excited about it and then don't realize work, like how much work it'll take or scheduling or other aspects, right? Like, oh, the idea is amazing. And it's like, okay, then it's execution date and time is here. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, but like real life happens. Yeah, I mean, there's tons of reasons why things don't come together like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens a lot.
But. Yeah, I don't know.
Streaming's hard, guys. Streaming having a podcast is hard. Feel bad for us.
Yeah, feel so bad. We need all of your sympathy right now. We all of your sympathy because it's so hard that I get to talk to my good friend.
Yeah,
hour and a half every week.
Terrible.
And then put it on the internet.
I think I finally figured out what this podcast is about.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because we were having a long discussion yesterday on stream about like this podcast and like the dating advice thing and all this stuff. And I was finally just like, okay, I get it. Like this podcast, we talk about nothing. Like it's the Seinfeld of podcasts. Like we just like it's whatever we want to talk about. And that's cool. But this is what the podcast is about.
Okay.
For people who don't know, okay. Me and M-Cole have only ever met once in real life.
Yes.
Before. Ever.
Yes.
And this is a podcast about two guys who met on the internet and learn about each other every week.
Ooh, I love that. Actually, that's awesome.
Right? It's like almost, it's not, I don't want to call it a social experiment because there's like a bad connotation with that, but it's a social experiment between the both of us, like becoming friends kind of on the internet and how that works.
That is amazing.
Right? Isn't that kind of cool?
That is.
I finally figured it out. That is what it is. 30-something episodes in. figured it out.
Episode 36, and we have cracked the...
We've cracked the code. Exactly. We've cracked the code.
No, that is actually really true, because a lot of our conversations are conversations that you would have in general with friends as you are becoming friends.
Yeah, yeah. We're figuring out about each other, you know? We're testing the waters.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And then... Wow, I like that.
That's why most podcasts that I think most episodes that we have is like kind of us interviewing each other in
that
a way
true.
Because we're
that
trying to
true.
Figure out each other's thoughts on things to see like where we, you know, disagree on things or where we do agree on things.
Yeah, I'm learning more and more about this other human.
See, yeah, like you just learned today about that. I read print newspapers sometimes.
I do. Or do you want to throw back to like, there's so much that we've gone over. There's so much I've learned about you. Like, do you remember the time that I was talking about when I would that being into shaving and then you also were into shaving?
That was crazy.
It was awesome. It was so cool. It was like live on the podcast. It was
Yeah.
Oh, it's perfect. Yeah. No, I think
look at that. Two internet boys learning about each other.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what it is. Nailed it.
Internet kids.
Internet so. Kids with a Z, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Always.
With a Z.
Always.
Gotta have the Z.
Gotta have the Zs.
Yes, but speaking of internet friends.
Yes.
I think it's time for a small streamer shout out.
It is time for that, I think.
I think it's about that time of the day.
As Rick James says, give it to me, baby.
Don't know how to like pivot my way out of whatever just happened. Like I'm just sitting here like trying to come up with something.
Something wrong? Is there a problem? Or
No. You're fine.
Okay. Yeah. You're good.
You're good. I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Some of these guys that don't know are new to the podcast. Every week, me and Skanky switch off with what we call the small streamer shout out. We pick a small streamer that we watch and hang out with on Twitch and kind of give them the shout out. So that way, Shenantics, Fanatics, you guys can find great new content. And then we can also spotlight some people that are doing really good stuff that are nice, cool, chill, great people on the internet that that we like. And so this week I have the honor of doing it. And my small streamer shout out, it's one of those things that I don't know how to pronounce the first part of his name because I'm gonna call him by the second part of his name. His name is Vamps. His username on Twitch is XINEOPH underscore Vamps, VAMPS. Love the underscore names, obviously. I love watching he streams primarily Minecraft. He is an fantastic, amazing Minecraft streamer. The reason and when I found him is I actually have been watching him longer than I've known Skanky. I think I followed him, I think it was 1.9 years ago or maybe something like that. Or maybe it was 1.5 years ago. So it's been like over a year and a half that I've been watching Vamps. He does take breaks from streaming and then comes back. Streams in the morning for me primarily. So like about 9 o'clock central time is generally streams. You can also follow him on Twitter at twitter.com/ it's like Xenoph Vamps, XINEOPH underscore VAMPS. Really, really cool, awesome, chill guy, and just a lot of fun, great builder, and he has a lot of really cool people that hang out in his chat. So I originally found him because he streamed in the mornings, and there wasn't that many people that I can watch in the mornings while I was at work, and he fit the bill 100%. So great, easy. great streamer. Absolutely go check him out and throw him a follow. And if you guys do, let him know that Shenantics sent you. So
love it. Great, go check him out.
Great guy. Vamps. He is awesome. Plus, he has a great accent. So,
love great accents.
Me too. It makes everything just that much better.
It does, so, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very like, especially at this point, like, after 36 episodes of a podcast and 2 years of streaming, I'm very comfortable with the sound of my own voice now. But I wish I just had a freaking badass accent, right? Like, I wish I had like an Australian accent, a German accent, Irish accent, like, it'd be British accent.
It'd be sick.
Do you think it's too late for me to develop an accent?
No, I don't think so. I think you can kind of get an accent whenever-ish. Well, I feel like you could still get one.
Is it weird if I get one and I still live in Chicago?
Yes. You know what? This is your best bet, MCall.
Mm-hmm.
Move someplace foreign where you want like to develop an accent, okay? Okay,
yeah.
Marry someone there, have children, they'll have accents, move them back to the U.S., they'll have a slight accent, you'll be fine.
And just have them talk for me.
Have them talk for you. Yeah.
Perfect. I think you're right.
Live vicariously through them.
Yeah. I think you're
That's your best bet right now, man.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think that's what I have to do.
That's my dating advice for you this week.
Go get married and have kids.
Somewhere else. Somewhere completely out of the US.
Not here, elsewhere, and then bring them back.
Don't you dare have kids here. I swear to God. Okay.
Exactly. I mean,
that's a warning.
I feel like I have to strike off. They can't have Chicago accents. They can't have New York accents. Like, it's got to be elsewhere.
Yep. It has
to be elsewhere. Talking about social experiments. Like,
oh my God. I know.
Oh man. Skanky, do you have anything for the food finish this week?
No.
Okay. So I actually do. You sound like so defeated.
I'm still thinking about last week, man, where I freaking brought up ramen again.
It was all good. It was great. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was fine. It was great.
This is shaking you to your core.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fine.
Especially after you learned what the podcast was actually about, you're like, MCall already knows that about me. How dare I, like,
I know,
bring up
yeah.
an entire thing that he already knows.
Exactly.
So this weekend I was at Riot Fest in Chicago, which is just awesome, like punk and rock music festival. It's fun. But the reason the food part of it is that it has like this kind of like carnival vibe to it. They actually have carnival rides, and so you also kind of get a little bit like the carnival food. So there's like a lot of funnel cake, corn dogs, stuff like that.
Good.
One of the things that I loved that they had is I love the walking tacos. Walking tacos, I think.
Walking tacos?
You don't know what a walking taco is?
I have no idea what that is. What is that?
Skanky. Okay, these were like fancy walking tacos, but we'll start with the basics and we'll work our way up to the fancies. Okay. Walking taco is super simple. You take a bag of some type of corn chips, but like the little individual bags. So let's use Fritos. Sponsored by Fritos. So you take like take your Fritos bag, you open it up, then you take your taco ingredients, a little bit of clump of ground beef, sour cream, a little bit of lettuce, cheese, and stuff like that, and then you eat them with a fork, and you can walk around holding your bag of that. So it's like pretty much, it's essentially nachos in a bag. And they're fantastic. They're really convenient. They're really, really tasty. You can really use any corn chips. Like, I think maybe like one day I would do it with like some traditional Doritos would be a good way to make them. And stuff. Anyways, but this place has, and they've been there at least the last few years that I've been at Riot Fest. They have these like really fancy walking tacos, and they have like, they have a cheeseburger one that basically tastes like a Big Mac in a bag, which was really good.
Oh, damn.
And then there's other one that had like this really rich like chorizo gravy in it. Ooh. And it was fantastic.
Dude, that sounds good.
Yeah, it was tasty. I like the festival foods. I feel like sometimes like I like the funnel cakes, I like the corn dogs, but then you also get some other like some weird stuff that you wouldn't necessarily order elsewhere.
Yeah.
But that it's okay to get there. So that's a, I don't know.
Damn.
That sounds great.
I love it, man.
Yeah. Come on out here next year and we'll go to Riot Fest and then I'll introduce you to the walking tacos.
All right. I'm down. Let's do it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Walking tacos are also very good after you've been drinking. So
Like it's which you were definitely not.
No. Never. I don't drink. All right, guys, that's been another episode of Shenantics. New episodes go live bright and early Monday morning, just in time for your work day, school day, or whatever else kind of day it is for you. You can find the podcast wherever you find podcasts, including the iTunes Store and Google Play Store, and at our website at shenantics.rocks. If you have any questions or feedback for us, you can send us a tweet at shenanticspod or an email at shenanticspodcast@gmail.com. And another way to leave only good feedback, bad feedback, stay away. If you want to leave really good feedback for us and how much you love the show, you can do it at iTunes on the iTunes Store. Leave a 5-star rating and tell us why we are the best people, because our egos need it. Skanky. Oh, also, if you want to join the discussion, you can head over to the Discord. If you need an invite link, it's over at shenantics.rocks/about, and it says join the Discord. Click on that and you can head on over there and talk to other Shenantics fanatics throughout the week. The cool thing is that a lot of people, because you don't always have to listen to the podcast in real time. So as people go back and they listen to episodes that they haven't listened to yet, you kind of get like a little bit of like throwbacks to things, a little bit like a little flashback as people are like, oh, I'm listening to episode 32 right now. And here's some comments I have on it. And it revives some old discussions, which is really cool. So I strongly recommend joining the community over there. Skanky, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/skanky, S-K-X-N-K-Y, and on Twitter at iSkanky, I-S-K-A-N-K-Y. Mcole, where can they find you, buddy?
I am on Twitch at twitch.tv/mcole_mcul and the underscore symbol, and on Twitter at twitter.com/mcole_. Skanky, it has been a great week learning more about you.
It has been the same for me to you, Mcole.
I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Peace out. See you later, everybody. Bye.
Goodbye.